Namaskaram, dear listeners, and welcome to Prashantinilayam, welcome to Thursday Live, welcome to the last episode of the day-long Thursday Live, welcome to Prashantinilayam, the most happening place on the planet, as I always say, and today is March 23rd, 2017, it's a time when students of Bhagwan's university, schools and colleges are reflecting on what they have received from the place, because this is the final month of their academic session. They are reflecting on how has their journey been, how was it when they started, how was it when it slowly shaped up, and what they are now after having spent a year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, 7 years, 9 years at his lotus feet. In a beautiful letter that Swami wrote to the students many years ago on the occasion of Ugadi, and Ugadi is around the corner, it's on March 28, 2017. Ugadi, the festival for all those people who speak Telugu, the Telugu New Year's Day. In India, it's very interesting because you have a New Year's Day coming up almost every month. If in March, the people who speak Telugu celebrate their New Year's Day, in April you'll have the people who speak Tamil celebrate their New Year's Day, and that's how then slowly you will have the people who celebrate Marathi, they celebrate the New Year Day in the subsequent month, and so you have Gujaratis who will celebrate it during Diwali. So we actually have New Year all the year round. Every day is new, every month is new, every occasion is new, and as Bhagwan used to always mention, every second is new. So Ugadi is round the corner, and there's a very beautiful letter that Bhagwan had written to all the students way back in 1981, and in that Swami says, "My beloved teachers and boys, accept my love and blessings. In this world of change, we meet with various vicissitudes of life, both pleasant and unpleasant. We are afflicted with disease, both mental and physical. The body is stricken with disease and the mind is stricken with sorrows and worries. In the state of our unhappiness, turmoil and misery, there is only one way, and that is to take refuge in Sai. Sai alone can remove these difficulties and disease and bring us to health, peace and prosperity. He who has got Sai's name on his lip is a Jivan Mukta, because continuous remembrance of Sai eliminates the sense of ego and grants him the realization of his immortal, changeless self. The name is a link between the devotee and Sai. It brings the devotee face to face with Sai and enables him to attain knowledge of his oneness with Sai. With love, your Sai, your own Sai, Sri Satya Sai, March 23rd, 1981. So that's a beautiful letter that Bhagwan had written, and such powerful messages here. Bhagwan is saying he has got Sai's name on his lip. He's a Jivan Mukta, he's already a liberated person, because if you're continuously chanting his name, if you're continuously remembering him, Swami says it will eliminate the sense of ego, and it will grant you the realization of your immortal self. What else do we need? The name is a link between the devotee and Sai, Swami says. What is the link between Sai and a Sai devotee? It is only this link, the name Sai. And that will bring the devotee face to face with Sai, and it will make him one with Sai. And so lovingly Bhagwan says, your Sai, your own Sai, the only person who is our own, isn't it? Everybody else in our life comes and goes. To everyone in our life, at some point in time, we have to bid farewell. But the only person who is always interested only in our welfare is Sai. No farewell with Sai. It is only welfare with Sai. And how Bhagwan does this welfare in us? How this process happens in every student, especially in his colleges, in his schools, is very interesting. It is very amazing. And the way it used to happen when Bhagwan was physically present is really matchless. Because you had the avatar directly shaping the soul by a look, by a glance, by denying a glance, by a touch, by withholding a touch. So today, I'll just share with you a few glimpses of this journey that happens inside. The journey from outside to inside, and then how we travel deep inside. How Bhagwan makes us to dive deep inside us and pick that which will make us one with Sai. By Bhagwan's grace, I had the opportunity to give a talk in the Satsang Hall in Prashantanilayam. And I had a chance to share some of these thoughts. And that is what I'm going to play for you today in this last hour of Thursday Life, coming to you straight from the studios of Radio Sai.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
So welcome to Outside, Inside, Deep Inside. I'm Team Radio Sai's Bishu, and as I said, today we're going to discuss on the journey within. I'm going to play for you a talk which I had the opportunity to present in the Satsang Hall in Prashantanilayam a year ago. It has a few illustrations, a few ideas, and a few thoughts for us to dwell on this journey within. Here it is. Divine Mother, please bless me so that my heart is filled with pure love. Let this love, which is pure, which is deep, which is expansive, which is absolutely selfless, as selfless as it can be, let this pure love fill every pore of my being. Let this pure love express itself in the form of noble looks. Let this pure love translate as sweet words. Let this pure love
lead me to seek reductions by my hands, by my limbs. Let this pure love fill every pore of my being, and let every limb of my body, let every faculty of my personality be engaged in the good of everyone, everywhere. Bless me with this pure love, O Mother. This is the beautiful meaning of the Gayatri Mantra. On one occasion, when Bhagwan asked a devotee the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra, that person, being a businessman, said he has no clue. He wanted to talk only about business, his business, to Bhagwan. But Swami asked him, "Do you know what is the meaning of the Gayatri Mantra?" And when he said he has no answer, he said, "Swami, I cannot understand. It is very philosophical. Because Bhagwan used to explain the meaning of Gayatri Mantra in his discourses as radiation, materialization, vibration, bhur, bhuva, suva, lokas, the different planes of existence. And he said, Swami, I cannot understand all this." Swami said, "Does not matter. I will tell you a very simple meaning of the Gayatri Mantra." And this is the meaning that Bhagwan had given. And it is so beautiful for all of us to relate to. So beautiful to every morning wake up with this prayer. O Supreme Mother, O embodiment of all wisdom, all power, all love, all beauty, fill me with that beauty. Fill me with that love. Fill me with that presence. So that everyone who comes in contact with me during the day may feel a glimpse of your love, may feel the touch of your presence, may feel the power of your wisdom.
हे शारदे मां, हे शारदे मां, अज्ञानता से हमें तार दे मां, हे शारदे मां, हे शारदे मां, अज्ञानता से हमें तार दे मां, तू स्वर्ग की देवी है, संगीत तुझसे हर शब्द तेरा है, हर गीत तुझसे, तू स्वर्ग की देवी है, संगीत तुझसे हर शब्द तेरा है, हर गीत तुझसे, हम हैं अकेले, हम हैं अधूरे, तेरी शरण में हमें प्यार दे मां, हम हैं अकेले, हम हैं अधूरे, तेरी शरण में हमें प्यार दे मां, तू स्वर्ग की देवी है, संगीत तुझसे हर शब्द तेरा है हर गीत तुझसे.
Many years ago, one student had joined the portals of Sri Satya Sai Higher Secondary School for his 11th grade. When he was in 8th class, Bhagwan had visited Shivam, his abode in Hyderabad. He was studying in Sri Satya Sai Vidya Vihar, Hyderabad. And he was a singer, and there was this opportunity to sing in front of Bhagwan. In fact, there was a competition of Vidya Vihar students and Balvika students in Hyderabad and Secunderabad, and he had won a prize, and that gave him the opportunity to sing in the Divine Presence. Bhagwan was very happy with his rendering, and after his performance, Bhagwan called him near, he blessed him and said, "Very good boy, live up to the name of being a Sai student. Come and join in my college." So this happened in 8th class, and then on he had harbored this dream of joining Bhagwan's school. His dream was fulfilled. He got admission in Bhagwan's school, one of the brightest days of his life. And after joining the school, the next thing that he thought he should be doing is start singing. Bhagwan himself had appreciated his singing. Bhagwan had congratulated him. It was in fact his singing which had prompted Bhagwan to say that be a Sai student and live up to the name. And so he thought that as he becomes a Sai student, what will automatically happen is that he would get a chance to sing in Mandir. And then as he found out from the teachers if he can sing, the teacher said, "Okay, you can sing, but you know, if you want to sing in the Mandir, Bhagwan has to give permission." That was how it was. All through the years when Bhagwan was physically there, anyone who wanted to be a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group had to personally take Bhagwan's permission. Even if the music teacher okayed your talent, even if you are singing in the hostel, until Bhagwan gave a green signal and until the music teacher also was convinced that Bhagwan has given you a green signal, you will not get a chance to be a part of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group. So that is what the teacher said. You have to ask Swami. So he thought, okay, that's all it is. So I will just ask Swami. Swami himself had told me that you sing well. So he went for darshan and he wrote a letter. And as Bhagwan came, he got up with all confidence and he showed that letter. And Swami, with the same confidence, awarded his letter. We know how Bhagwan is so beautiful when he wants to love us. Wherever you are, you may be in the middle of the ocean, you might be in the top of the Mount Everest, you might be in the remotest of town, but if he wants to love you, he can show it in a million ways how he is loving you. At the same time, if he wants to avoid you, you may be there right in front of him, flat in front of his face, but he will avoid you. And you will be helpless, you will not know what to do. So that is how it was. Bhagwan spoke to the boy next to him, but Bhagwan did not take that letter from him. And so he thought, okay, maybe Swami was distracted with something. I will try tomorrow. So the next day, again he went with his letter. And the next day, Bhagwan avoided that line. Now when it happened successively for 3-4 days, then he thought, what is this? There is something happening here. Why is Swami not taking my letter? And slowly he started getting a feeling that really Bhagwan was not coming anywhere near where I am sitting. What happened? It was he who told me to come and join. It was he who told me I sing well. And soon it reached a point where it was definite that wherever he is, Bhagwan would avoid that place. It was too much for him to bear. You don't know what is happening. And If you go to any teacher, they will all only tell you that, you know, you keep praying, he knows best. And that is when, after he had cried a lot, a process of introspection started. And he started thinking, okay, why am I crying? I'm crying because I'm not getting a chance to sing in Mandir. But why do I want to sing in Mandir? Yeah, I wanted to sing in Mandir because, well, I'm a good singer. Swami had praised me. And everyone in my class knows that I'm a good singer. I am actually a star of the hostel. I've already sung in the hostel. Everybody is waiting. When will I sing in Mandir? I can become a star. I was supposed to become a star. And here I'm not getting a chance to even sing in Mandir. And until I sing in Mandir, no one will recognize my talent. And so he thought, why I wanted to sing in Mandir? Is it really because so that everyone recognizes my talent? Is it because so that everyone now applauds me as a hero, so that I become an icon in my school? And he thought, okay, no, but something is wrong. No, why did I want to sing in Mandir? And then as he thought and cried and thought and contemplated, as more and more tears flowed down, more and more deep went his gaze within, and he questioned again, why do I want to sing in Mandir? And then it occurred to him, I wanted to sing in Mandir because I wanted to sing for Swami. That is where everything started. I actually wanted to sing in front of Swami. Everything else was a bonus. If I become a star or I don't become a star, that was inconsequential. And when that feeling came, I wanted to sing in Mandir because I wanted to sing for Swami. Okay, then why am I crying? If I wanted to sing for Swami, then why am I crying? If I wanted to sing for Swami, then can I sing for Swami only if I sing in the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group? If I want to sing for Swami, will I sing for Swami only if I am sitting front row 1.1 in the Mandir? If I want to sing for Swami, am I only then singing for Swami when everyone applauds my singing? If I want to sing for Swami, I can sing for Swami anywhere. I can sing for Swami anytime. If really sincerely I feel that I want to only sing for Swami, then why am I crying? Is Swami there only in the Mandir? Is Swami there only in that half an hour during the bhajan session? Is Swami there only when everybody else is around and everyone else is listening and following? Is Swami there only if so many people are following my singing? Is Swami there only if everyone else recognizes my talent? Is Swami not there with me? Is Swami not there now with me when I am crying? Is Swami not there with me as I am walking to the college? Is Swami not there with me as I wake up? Is Swami not there with me as I am sleeping? Is Swami not there with me as I am walking on the road and humming the tune? Is Swami not there with me every moment? Is Swami not there with me in the bathroom? I can sing to Him anywhere. Then why am I crying? If I really only want to sing for Swami, then I should not cry. Otherwise, I don't believe in Swami. And as this understanding dawned, the tears also slowly ceased. Lot of peace within, lot of calmness within. And then he stopped feeling bad. He stopped praying. All I wanted to do is to sing for Swami. And I can sing for Him anywhere. In fact, I don't have to be limited to the half an hour. I don't have to sing in the pattern it is sung in the Mandir. I can sing to Him however I want, in the raga I want, in the beat I want, in the way I want, wherever, however. And with that confirmed, settled feeling, he started going to Mandir. He stopped writing letters, stopped trying to approach Bhagwan. Didn't matter if he was sitting in the first line, if you are sitting in the fifth line, 2 days pass. Bhagwan comes for darshan. From very far, Swami picks. He really did not know that it was him Bhagwan was pointing to. Bhagwan confirmed, yes, you. And Swami says, go to Vachanal. Go and sing.
Tu swar ki devi hai sangeet tujhse har shabd tera hai har geet tujhse.
Bhagwan says, a singer can become a saint or a sinner. A singer becomes a saint when his love for the Lord, his connect with the Lord is so pure that he becomes a medium to carry the devotion, to carry the feelings of so many to the lotus feet. When someone sings very beautifully, he carries. You want to sing along, you want to use that prayer, that bhava to convey your feelings to the Lord. And when someone is unable to do that justice, then he disturbs the connection that another is trying to establish with Bhagwan. And what Bhagwan, the Sadguru, the Jagannamata, always endeavored is, we all have those moments, if we cannot become saints, at least we experience those moments of saintliness. At least a few moments of our day, let them be moments, God moments. Let them be moments where through us people can connect to God. Only those moments in our life which have been spent in pure love are truly the moments which have been spent for which life has been bestowed on us. And Bhagwan, if you see, all the time, he was all the time only working on us to increase those God moments in our lives. Because it is only those God moments which will fill us with lasting bliss.
Hum hai akele, hum hai adhure.
There might be 100 people around you and you still might feel very incomplete. You might be having 500 Facebook friends, but when the chips are down, it might be even difficult to find one friend with whom you can actually confide everything. There might be times when even if there are 1,000 people, you feel incomplete, but if there is one person there in your life, then it does not matter whether these 100 people are there around you or not.
Hum hai akele, hum hai adhure.
We all the time try to fill our lives with different things to make it complete. Until it comes to a realization that we know that we will always feel incomplete. Today there is a particular thing which gives a lot of happiness. Today there is a particular person who is giving a lot of satisfaction and happiness. You can only be grateful to the Lord, but you don't know if it is going to last, if it is going to be the same person. Is he all that he said to us 2 years ago? Will he or she tell the same thing to us 2 years hence? Will he feel the same way for us 2 years hence? Will he adore us the same way how it was 5 years ago? Will there be that same intensity of affection? Maybe, may not be. But only one person with whom this is true, only one person whose love is deep, pure, expansive and absolutely selfless is the one to whom we have to go back. Because we have originally come from him, and if the soul has to feel complete, it has to merge in the universal soul. The wave is part of the ocean. Many years ago, there was this student as he joined Bhagwan's college, right from the first day, Bhagwan showered so much love on him. There was not a day when Bhagwan actually did not talk to him or did not come near him or did not touch the handkerchief he was holding or did not give a chuckle and throw a laddu at him. The first day, Swami called his parents for interview and he was in the school. So much love. Come from the north, Dhampur, and every day everyone wanted to sit beside him because they knew Swami is going to come. And every time it was true. The moment Bhagwan came out of the interview room, he would talk to him. The moment Bhagwan returned after a car drive, he would look at him and simply smile. So, it is not just days, it was months. Not a day when Bhagwan did not touch him in some special way. You know, when you are going through that, it is so fantastic. You can't imagine that it is really happening to you. You will actually, at some time, also think, do I really deserve? At some times, you also take it easy. Because it is happening every day. Sometimes, it is so special that you treasure every moment. Because every day Swami is so uncertain, Swami is so sweet. He would do different things. One day as you are taking Pad Namaskar, his toes will just pinch your hands. As you are giving your letter, he will caress your hand. He is that Krishna, he can just make you fall in love with him madly. And that's what he always wants. And he has a million ways how to do it. So this is how it was with this boy. Young. And in fact, the first interview that Swami gave to his mother was very worried. Swami told Amma, "Aaj se, these boys are my responsibility. You don't have to worry at all." They were two brothers actually. And so it went on, the love story. Until one day, everything stopped. Anybody who has lived with Bhagwan will not find it strange. Because Bhagwan is not here to entertain us. A father will tell you, a mother might want to sometimes allow you to indulge. A mother may be even scared sometimes to do some things which might hurt you. What she will do, if it has to be done to correct you, and Bhagwan is a million times than that. If something has to be done to correct you, he will go to an extent you can never ever imagine. It reminds me of my days. I had fallen sick many years ago. In all my years of student life, Swami had not showered that much love on me than the time when I became sick. And it was so much that I actually never for a moment really felt the pain of being sick, because I thought if being sick is this much love from Bhagwan, it's okay, you know, I am happy to be sick all the time. It's okay. Because every day he would either speak to my brother or he will speak to my mother. He will go and create vibhuti for my father, or he would go and ask my mother, or he would come to me and give vibhuti, and I have actually seen vibhuti, you know, as his dropping, that the mound of vibhuti would just become so huge. As he releases his palm, it would just increase, and he would say, "No, you take this." And every day he would ask the doctor. Every day, every doctor wanted to speak to me. Every doctor wanted to be associated with me, because they knew that if they had anything to do with me, they can go to Swami and tell. They can have a chance to talk to Swami. It was like that. I was actually a VIP. And when I think about it, it was actually the most trying times in the family, because it was a deep infection and everyone was concerned. But the way Swami held, you know, every day time in the family went only talking about what Swami did. No one is talking about the sadness. No one is talking about the sorrow. Sorrow is not there. Every day you come back home and you think, what Swami did today? And he would have done something today. And then everything stopped. As it happens. So that is what it happened with this boy too. It stopped.
And it will stop at a time when you think it is never going to end. Because you will see that this can never end. That's how life is. God is very uncertain. Life also is very uncertain because nature is just a manifestation, God's vesture. So, when this happened, this little boy, see, it's easy for someone who is seasoned, who has been with Bhagwan for quite some time, or someone who has grown, someone who has been here for a few years, to know that such things happen. But when it happens to a young one, you are very devastated. Because at that point in time, just like it happened with the previous boy, you know, you were enjoying that stardom. Because when God is with you, the whole world is with you. When God talks to you, the whole world hails you. When God is there touching you, the whole world is lifting you. Everyone all the time only sees you with starry eyes, and whether you know it or not, you know, whether you are walking 5 inches above the ground or not, everyone visualizes you that way. It's like that. Everyone wants to talk to you. Everyone wants to know what happened. People, if they touch you, they feel holy. And now, what happened? Swami does not want to come. Every time he created Vibhuti, he used to look at my direction, and I used to go and I used to offer the handkerchief, and he used to smile, use the handkerchief and drop it back. Now he does not even want to look at my side. Every time I was holding a letter, he would notice that 50 meters away, and he would come and smilingly pick up the letter. And now, if he sees that I am sitting that side, he avoids that entire row. Every time he gave prasadam, he would search me out and ask, "Did you get?" And now, I have not got, and he's not bothered. Every time there is a cultural program, he would ask, "What are you doing? Which role are you playing?" And now, I am not there in the drama. He is not concerned. It does not matter to him. I don't exist. You feel he's betrayed you. He changes people. And so this boy, little one, so he tried in his own mind everything that he can do. I remember I used to make those cards. If I held a letter, he would not take. But if I made a card, and I used to make those cards, I had a few pictures with Bhagwan, and I used to put one picture of him and me on one side, just to tease him that, you know what, once upon a time, we were like this. What used to happen is, if I made a card, he would take the card. He would not look at me, but he would look at the card. Because he loves you, no. How much ever pain we feel of our distance from him, you can be assured that he feels the pain a million times. Because we originally have come from him. He feels, the only person who feels the most pain is him. Because he feels, you know, a mother feels that I have given birth, you know, I have done this and this person does not come back to me, my son doesn't love me. But for Swami, the pain is a million times, because Swami feels, hello, I have been looking after him for not this life, I have been looking after this fellow for so many janmas. I have done so much to bring him where he is now. So many times, in so many ways, I have cared for him, I have lifted him. He does not even realize that today when he was going, he would have met with an accident. I just saved him. He did not even have a moment to thank me. He does not even realize that the mother he has got, the father he has got, whatever he has, I have chosen that for him. At every moment I am there. And he does this. So the pain for Bhagwan is actually a million times more. So this is what happened with this boy. And every day he would try to get Bhagwan's attention, and Bhagwan would avoid. And actually, from the stratospheric level that he was in the hostel, he was now in the Netherlands. No one was talking to him. When Bhagwan talks to you, everyone thinks that you are an angel. And everyone comes near you, everyone wants to be next to you. And when Bhagwan does not talk to you, everyone feels that you have committed a crime. Now you have become something obnoxious you have done, and that is why God is avoiding you. And so the whole world now backs out. Now everyone who was there, who wanted to be with you, all those people now want to be as far as possible from you. But now visibly he saw that no one wanted to sit next to him. No one wanted to keep him in any cultural program because they thought if he is there in the cultural program, maybe Swami will not like it. Maybe Swami will not give us a group photograph in the end. If it was a birthday boy of someone, that person did not want that this person should be sitting next to him because he knew Swami will not come. So he was not part of any activity because everyone feared that if this boy is part of that activity, that's it. None of us are going to get any chance. And it went on and on for months. And then this boy started going back to where it was in the beginning. And then he started questioning, why am I feeling sad? Just like the previous one did. Why am I crying? I'm crying because Swami does not love me anymore. How much he used to love me. The first day he came, he spoke to me. Now he does not love me. He does not even want my shadow to fall anywhere close to him. And then he started thinking, okay, Swami does not love me. That's fine. But because he does not love me, do I not love him? Do I not love him? Do I not love him for everything that he has done for me? There are thousands of students, but for 6 months, he just showered singularly all the love on me. Do I forget that? In the most challenging period of my life, when I first time joined the hostel, feeling homesick, my mother was worried. He spoke to me every day. He wanted to comfort me. Should I forget all that? Should I not love him? So many boys wanted chances. But he always ensured that I get all the chances. So many boys have joined whom Bhagavan has not spoken to till now. But he gave so much of himself. Should I forget that? Should I not love him? Will I love him only if he all the time very obviously and conspicuously continuously love me? Will I love him only if he loves me? Will I love him only if he talks to me? Will I love him only if he calls me and gives a chance for performing in the drama? Will I love him only if he touches my letter? Will I love him only if he takes my handkerchief? Will I love him only if he calls and speaks to me? Will I love him only if every day in visible form he expresses his love to me? Or will I love him because there is no because? I love him because I want to love him. And when this feeling started, why am I getting attached to Bhagavan's form? Why am I always seeking to touch him? Why I want that Swami should touch me? Why I want that Swami should pat me? Why I want that Swami should give me vibhuti? Why I want that Swami should call me and give me a photograph? If he is not doing all these things, is he not loving me? Can I not see the million ways he is loving me otherwise? Will I always get hooked? Sometimes it even becomes an addiction that you want always these visible signs and God gets tired. How much we have seen that with Bhagavan. His physical body was tired of trying to give that physical of himself to how many people can he really give? Many years ago, Bhagavan used to call the students for 3 sessions in Vrindavan. And if you know, it is a very, very intimate session with Bhagavan because it is just Swami and students after the evening bhajan session. And it would be a very informal atmosphere where Swami would just come, he would be sitting in the jhula and the boys actually had the chance to have Bhagavan's feet on their lap. You could do path seva and Swami would just, it would be just casual conversations, seemingly casual conversations because there is nothing really casual. And it would be a variety session. One day Swami would ask someone to sing, one day he would give a discourse, one day he would ask a guest to speak, and from what he has spoken he would add, he would just elaborate on anything. And one day like this, he stopped 3 sessions and he did not call continuously for 3 days. This was unusual. In those days it was absolutely unusual because every day unmistakably Swami would call. And 3 days he did not call and everyone was worried, what happened, what did we do? And generally, you start your self-introspection sadhana happens. We learn the most beautiful lessons of life Only through our moments of sorrow, isn't it? I think sorrow has a way of teaching us those lessons in such a powerful manner which even happiness cannot. That's why perhaps Kunti said, Lord, please always give me sorrow, because somehow sorrow keeps me connected to you. But very beautifully Kabir Das said that if you think of the Lord in your moments of happiness, then there won't be moments of sorrow. Because we always think of Lord in the moments of sorrow, the Lord ensures that you don't lose the connect with Him. So, after 3 days, when Bhagwan called the students, Swami said, do you know why I did not call you for 3 days? Swami said, slowly and slowly, I want each one of you to go within. Slowly and slowly, I want each one of you to go within. This was way back in 1994. And so coming back to this brother, when that realization came that it does not matter if Swami loves me the way I expect Him to love me. The whole problem with our love is all the time we want people to love us the way we expect them to love us. People love us, they love us in their own ways. Yeah, their love changes, but still they love us in their own ways. But we all the time want people to love us the way we expect them to love us. It may not happen. So either why am I crying that Swami should love me the way He loved me 6 months ago? Why can't I reconcile that no, He still loves me, but it does not matter. What matters is not whether He loves me, what matters is whether I love Him. And that became so solid that Swami, I will not cry anymore, because it does not matter whether you love me or not. It does not matter whether you give me vibhuti or not. It does not matter whether you speak to me or not. What matters is whether I love you. And I know that I love you. And that is good for me. And so many months had passed, 6 months had passed, and he was a forgotten entity in the hostel. Earlier everyone was looking for him. And now he was not going and sitting in the front, because anyway Swami is not going to talk to him. And earlier it was because of disgust. And now it was because of this feeling that it does not matter. You see Swami and tell Swami, I love you. And I know that I love you, so that is fine. And so one day he came and sat in the back where the car shed is. Generally some of the students who come late would sit there. There's no way Swami would actually talk to you because you're not sitting in the portico. He came there and he was just sitting there closing his eyes, and you know there were these tears of love for him, tears of gratitude. Slowly, you know, we learn in life that we have to take things in our life not for granted but with gratitude. The moment we start taking things in our life with gratitude, then everything that is precious in our life continues to be in some form or the other. Many times when we take it for granted, then perhaps somewhere we did not know how to respect it. So now it was moments of gratitude, and he would sit there, and one day he was just sitting crying, and it was not sorrow, it was just moments of being one with him, moments of feeling him within and shedding those tears of oneness. And the interview is over. In those days, after the interview is over, Bhagwan would come, would take a round many days. And so that day Bhagwan came, and he came down the portico, and boy was sitting somewhere very far, and Swami was looking at him, and someone tapped him. Said, hey, Swami is calling you. He said, what? Really? He didn't even, you know, he was shocked, because he never ever thought that such a thing would happen. That desire itself was not there. And then Swami calls him. When you realize that, yeah, it is really He is calling, so you jump and you went to Bhagwan's presence. And Bhagwan just smiled and said, hey, when are your parents coming? So how did you do that exam? It's as good as if nothing has happened, you know. It's nothing that needs to be talked about. Everything was fine. Everything is fine. Everything is fine. When the one whom we seek, who is within, is sought within. What happens is most of the time, many times, we try to look for him who is within without. You look for him who is within outside. We do so many things outside trying to feed him within, but all it needs is that we have to go within. And he is waiting for that moment. He is waiting, you know, these are moments that have happened with the physical avatar to give us lessons in life about how our journey to him has to always be a journey within. That is a great advantage when the Lord comes in a human form. You have these beautiful examples. You have the opportunity to do those experiments with Bhagwan. The Lord does experiments with you to teach you those lessons. And through the lessons that he has given a few, so many of us derive inspiration. Hum hai akele, hum hai adhure. Till we realize that we will be adhura, we will be incomplete till he is established in us. Only then we will feel complete. Till that realization happens, the journey is on. Teri sharan mein hame pyar de ma, he shar de ma, he shar de ma, agyanta se hame tar de ma. मुनियों ने समझी ये गुणियों ने जानी, वेदों की भाषा पुराणों की वाणी. मुनियों ने समझी ये गुणियों ने जानी, वेदों की भाषा पुराणों की वाणी. हम भी तो जाने, हम भी तो समझे, विद्या का हमको अधिकार दे मा. What is this विद्या? You're asking for that विद्या. भगवान is always said, सा विद्या या विमुक्तये. Only that विद्या is विद्या that can make you really, really, really free. Tu shvet kavarni kamal pe viraje, haatho me veena mukut sir pe saaje. Tu shvet kavarni kamal pe viraje, हाथों में वीणा मुकुट सिर पे साजे. मन के हमारे मिटा दे अंधेरे, उजालों का हमको संसार दे मां. मन के हमारे मिटा दे अंधेरे, उजालों का हमको संसार दे मा. We want that life of brightness, we want that life of ujala, of happiness. And when do we experience such a life? Many years ago, again during Bhagwan's one of the sessions in the Sai Kulwanth Hall, you know, in those days there used to be these long sessions of Vedam chanting. It started sometime after 2004-2005 when Bhagwan came. He wanted Vedam chanting to go on, and so Vedam chanting would continue until Bhagwan indicated that bhajan should start. And there was a lot that went into this Vedic chanting management, because the teachers there would constantly try to see what would be the best mantram to chant now. If, for example, Swami is sitting there and it looks like he's going to sit there for long, then, you know, chant a mantra which is long. If there are primary school students sitting, then probably chant a mantra which they can join. Because if more students chant, Swami would feel very happy, especially when the tiny tots also join the chanting. And if you have chanted a mantra which the primary school chanted, and then if you have chanted something which they did not chant, then quickly switch to something which they can again chant if Swami is sitting there. Look at the mood of Bhagwan. If Swami is very much involved, then chant a mantra which Bhagwan loves the most, because Bhagwan would sometimes lip sync and chant along with you. So there was this teacher who would always constantly see Bhagwan's mood, the situation, the ambience and everything around. Is there a VIP around? What would Swami expect us to chant that day? And then he would decide and indicate to the teacher on the paper, let's start this mantra. And if Bhagwan sat for a long period, then you know, you feel you have done a good job, because you chanted well and everything went on very fine. Bhagwan was sitting there doing nothing, so to speak, and just listening to the chanting for 45 minutes, which means everything was honky-dory. And so one day Bhagwan was very happy, seemed like that, and after the chanting was over, everyone congratulated this sir who was doing this mantra management. It was a very nice choice of the mantras. You know, the way you chose every sequence, it was so amazing. Swami sat for so long. So many devotees were blessed with darshan for so many minutes. And the teacher was very happy, very proud. And he went in the afternoon to the North Indian canteen. And he was standing in the queue. And he heard this conversation that was happening behind him, a father and son. And the son was saying to the father, "Father, you know what, today it was so good. Swami sat for so long. And you know what, I was just praying to Swami. Swami, the next mantram, it should be Medha Suktam. Swami, that's the only mantram I know. Please Swami, it should be the Medha Suktam. Please." And you know what, Dad, that is what exactly happened. They started Medha Suktam. I chanted. Wow, it was such a wonderful day. You know, Swami listens to everyone. Swami, you're just listening to my prayer. Can you believe it? And this teacher thought, oh my God. And I thought, I did a fantastic Vedic chanting management. It's like that Govardhan Giri, you know. When Krishna held aloft that Govardhan Giri mountain on his tiny finger, they say that many cowherds also brought sticks and they held on, you know, to support Krishna. What will happen if he falls, you know, Papam Krishna is a small boy. Let me also hold, you know, give support. And you feel that, thank God, you know, I supported Krishna. Otherwise, I don't know what would have happened. It's like that. We do our little things and we feel, wow, you know, it just happened, you know. Yeah, Swami worked through me, but you know, it actually worked through me, you know. And then that is where that andhera happens in life. So when we pray to the mother, man ke hamare mita de andhere ujjalon ka humko sansar de ma. I think our life would be always be filled with brightness if we experience the light of His love in everything that we do. If I'm speaking today, it is surely because He has allowed it to happen. If I have had this opportunity to sing this song today, to dwell on the mother today, it is because the mother willed it so. In fact, it's very interesting. Last night, I just sang this and just recorded it, personal consumption. And it is 11:30 in the night actually, I was still in the office. And one brother comes to me, and he said, "Brother, I've got a gift for you." "What?" "You don't have to give me gifts." No. Just felt like. And I opened it. It was a very beautiful figure, a nice piece of art of the mother. So all these beautiful little things that happen all the time in our lives, isn't it? Bhagwan is telling, hello, I'm telling you, I'm all the time. I mean, how much more obvious should I make it? Every time I do something, do I have to hit you on your head and tell you, see, I've done this for you. See, I've done this for you. Hello, I'm doing it all the time. Just be a little more. If you're tuned to me, You will know it, but still you don't get it. So what, I have to do these physical things. I have to do these conspicuous things for you to know. But if, at every moment, if you constantly feel that, you know, if this is what is happening, is this is what is meant to happen, and this is the best thing to have happened to me, and he's orchestrating it, and I can only be grateful for whatever is happening, then only those things will happen to us. What will make our life beautiful? If something has happened which is seemingly not so beautiful, then perhaps it is preparing us for something beautiful to happen in our lives. Because the Lord is always interested in making our lives beautiful, because He is the Divine Mother. And the mother always, always is satisfied when the child grows. He is not interested in only the child smiling. He is interested in the growth of the child. Because only when the child grows, can the child not only smile himself, but also be able to bring smiles on others. And that is what we are here for. That is what the purpose of life is for. Salutations to the mother, to bless us with this understanding and to fill us with her love, so that we never ever feel incomplete and we become a medium to create God moments in our lives and in the lives of everyone around. We offer ourselves at her lotus feet. Ooh. 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 Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Samasta loka sukhino bhavantu. Om shanti shanti shanti. Thank you so much for your patient listening, and I offer myself Bhagwan's lotus feet with immense gratitude for these beautiful moments of ruminating on Him. Thank you.
So dear listeners, that was a talk which Bhagwan gave the opportunity to present in the Satsang Hall in the month of June 2016, and since in this the topics that were discussed or shared was about this journey of going within, of seeing Him within, of purifying ourselves so that we can see Him within all the time, I thought it might be of use to all of us. Thank you so much for being with us through this beautiful Thursday, this beautiful Guruvar, dedicated to the Divine Master. Let us offer our every moment at the lotus feet of this Divine Master, who is all the time busy sculpting us. Every failure, every setback is not something to break us, but it is always something to make us. And He is constantly at work making us so that we can become His reflection, His image. Dear listeners, thanks to each one of you for being with us all through this journey and making it so much more interesting and so much more overwhelming. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. It feels so good to read your emails. It gives us ideas. It gives us inspiration. We take them as Bhagwan's blessings. whether praise or a complaint, because everything is only for us to grow. So please keep writing. As we wind up this day-long Thursday Live, I thank each one of you and offer our collective salutations at Bhagwan's lotus feet and pray that our life becomes sweet, always ruminating on his lotus feet. Thank you so much. Sairam.